God said to Abraham, when Abraham was asking and wondering about what his future was going to be, and no doubt Abraham looked around at those who he walked among, and he in his spirit questioned what his inheritance was going to be. He had left from his father and was following the leadership of the Lord, and God said to him, he said, Abraham or Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. And I appreciate so much the song and the truth of it, and the fact that, aren't you glad tonight, God is our reward. He is our inheritance. He is the one we need. He's all we need. And we need nothing and no one else but Him. And He's the ultimate source, the true source of every single thing that we need. And I'm grateful for that, and I praise Him for it. I'd love you to take your Bible tonight, turn back to the book of James. We're in the midst of this study and this series. Thank you for being here. We have some individuals visiting with us this evening. If you are visiting, I'd love for you to reach in the pew in front of you, take out one of those little blue and white cards, a connection card. We'd love for you to fill it out, and you can hang on to it and take it to one of our two welcome centers there after the service out in the foyers. We have a special gift just for you, but we'd love to meet you and have a record of your visit. Thank you. You've honored us by being here tonight, and all of you have honored the Lord by being here. But we're always glad and honored to have guests here at Faith Church. Amen? And so thank you for being here. James is called, you're going to be sick of me saying this when we get done with the book, it's been called the Proverbs of the New Testament. It's chock full of wisdom. It's God's wisdom, we know that. And He once again is using the half-brother of the Lord Jesus as the human instrument to write His word. And last Wednesday night we talked about how to make the Word of God, how to receive the Word of God, how to properly take in the Bible, maximizing the Bible's impact in our life. That was based on verse 21. I want you to go back there and remember what it says. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. Remember, he says that in a context where he's talking about listening, being a listener, being a hearer. And so in verse 21, he brings up that how we are to hear, how we are to receive the word. So then he goes from how is it that we can hear and listen and receive the word to he continues that thought. I started to say he springboards from it, but he really doesn't. It's just a continuation of thought. And I want you to notice what he says in verse 22, down through verse 25. He says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. That's the key phrase, hearers only. Be a doer of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholding himself, he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway or immediately he forgetteth what manner of man he was. Notice verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So tonight, as we continue on in our study, Shoe Leather Christianity, I want to talk to you this evening from these four verses. Be a doer. Be a doer. He finishes up that thought in verse 21 about how can we receive the word and maximize the impact of the word in our life as we receive it, as we listen to it. So James showed us in verse 21 how to properly receive the word and take it in. But now James transitions from just hearing or receiving the word to actually living out the word in full obedience. And when it comes to the Bible, this is part of our notes tonight on the back of your prayer sheet. If you'll notice it with me, when it comes to the Bible, most of us are professional hearers. You say, now, what do you base that on? Well, think about this with me just a moment. For the faithful church member at Faith Free Will Baptist Church, that means in my mind, you come to Sunday school, you sit in the preaching service on Sunday morning, you come back Sunday night, and you're here Wednesday night. Now, I realize I'm preaching, teaching to the cream of the crop here at our church. Most of you in this room are what I would call four-time-a-week people. You're part of a Sunday school class. You're going to be here Sunday morning, unless something happens. You're going to be back Sunday night, and you're here tonight. You've got all that down. Praise the Lord. I believe, by the way, that that's a healthy part of spiritual formation and spiritual growth. So I appreciate your faithfulness. I do not discount that at all. Please know that right at the outset. But that means not counting revival services, not counting things you may hear on Christian radio, sermons, messages. Some of you listen to podcasts and things like that. That's not counting any of that. Just you being here in church faithfully, you get on average 200 plus sermons, lessons, messages every year. At least 200. Can I tell you something? That's a lot of hearing of the Bible. In other words, in 1 week of church attendance, you and I have heard more Bible, listen to this, than the vast majority of the world hears in their entire lifetime. You understand that? In 1 week of you being faithful to all the services at Faith Church, you and I hear more Bible in 1 week than the majority of the world ever hears. So here's what I'm going to tell you tonight. You and I, in 1 year's time, think about all the themes that you hear in a year in church. Think about all the preaching. And look, when you add your own quiet time to that, think about all the verses. Think about all the subjects and all the things that are brought up from the Bible, and all the spiritual themes, all the commandments, all the precepts, the principles, every single thing in a year's time that you and I, as conscientious believers, that we're exposed to from the Bible. Think about how much Bible truth that is. And I'm going to tell you something. Do you realize that's enough Bible truth to change the world? If you never heard, or I never heard, any more Bible truth, you and I know enough to transform not just Wayne County in North Carolina, but to transform this globe. We have so much Bible knowledge. It's unbelievable. Especially when you compare it, not just to different parts of the world, but friend, even parts of our country. Folks, who churches like ours are a totally foreign concept to them. Churches that actually preach and teach the Bible and that have the Word of God as its only source of authority. That's unheard of in different parts of our nation. You and I are blessed people, and I'm not sure sometimes that we really understand just how privileged and how blessed we are. I mean, we've heard, present one excluded, but certainly up till 3 years ago, we've heard incredible preaching in our lifetime. Think about all the Bible that we've been exposed to and that the Lord has given us, and all the wonderful, wonderful times of instruction that we've been reading, listening, sitting in services, conferences, camps, revivals, retreats, you name it, brother, we've sat in it, and God has reached down with the power of His Word and captured our hearts and fed us and taught us. Listen, we've done a lot of listening. Watch me now. A lot of listening and hearing when it comes to Scripture. That's why I say, friend, that you and I are professional hearers. And there is a certain aspect where we ought to hear it, and we're supposed to hear it. We're supposed to take it in. But I want to say this to you. God's purpose for us doesn't stop at just hearing the Bible. In fact, hearing is only the first step. This process that the Lord wants to do in our heart and life, it is not complete until we live out in life what we've heard from the Word. It's not just enough to be a hearer. That's not sufficient. Jesus says, God says through his man here, He says, I want you to be a doer of the Word. So please get this down. Being a doer is the next logical and natural step after being a hearer. I'm glad you're hearing. I'm glad that you're listening tonight. And I'm glad that when God's Word is opened, whether it's in your private time or in corporate worship, I'm glad you're a listener. And God wants you to be a listener. But please hear me. If all we do is listen and listen and listen and take in and take in and take in and take in, if we never live it out, then we have not fulfilled the reason God wanted us to listen. It's not just about being a hearer. He says, I want you to be a doer. So in these verses tonight, James is not opposing the hearing of the Word. What he's opposing is any type of hearing or receiving of the Word that doesn't lead to obedience. Any reception of it that doesn't lead to doing. One writer said, the Word has not been truly received until it's been put into practice. And I say amen to that. So let me give you some thoughts tonight from this passage. First of all, notice what I call the precept. He gives us a precept here. And here's the simple precept. It's not simple to live out, but it's simple to understand. He says, be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only. This command carries the idea of involving, as one writer said, the whole person, the whole being. Mind, emotion, spirit, soul. The tone of the Word, if I understand correctly, carries the idea of completely immersing one's whole self into it. That I'm going to completely do it. I'm going to give it all the energy I have. I'm going to live it out. I'm not just going to receive it, but I'm going to put my whole effort, all my might, as the Scripture says, into doing the Word, living it out. It involves total dedication. Something that I've committed myself to, I'm involved in, and it involves my whole being. It's the difference, if I can illustrate it this way. We have many men in this room, and most men like football to some capacity. Some of you ladies like football too. My brother, some of you ladies take it more seriously than some of the men do. But anyway, you know, some of you folks are on fantasy football teams and leagues and all that, and you know, anyway, here's the difference. Here's what he's saying. Do you know that there's a difference in, say you say to your boys or your family, or say, hey, it's Saturday afternoon, let's go out in the backyard and let's play a quick game of tag football, two-hand touch football. There's no pads, no helmet. We don't want to break anything, especially at our age, right? Well, we don't want to break anything. We're not going to go full bore, you know. Ain't nobody going to be diving for the pylon or anything like that. We're just going to go out in the back and have a nice, friendly, relaxing game of two-hand tag football. All right, so that's one scenario. Contrast that with the boys that suit up on Sunday afternoon and play for the National Football League. Okay? Now, you say, is there a difference? Yeah, there's a difference. You know there's a difference. One just may go out and just recreationally at their leisure, and, you know, they may not even keep score, you know. But the other one, it's not just a hobby. It's their life. It involves their whole life, all their time, all their energy, all their effort, their mind, their emotions, their spirit. And even for some, they make it a soul thing. They've totally devoted themselves to that. That's all that they have devoted themselves to. And here's what the Lord is saying. He's saying, hey, I don't want you to, when it comes to living out the word, I don't want you to treat it like a little, you know, 30-minute game of two-hand tag in the backyard with your youngins. I want you to treat it like the NFL. I want you to immerse your whole self in living out the word. Are you dedicated to it? Is it for real for you? Are you serious about it? Does it involve total dedication? And he's saying, that's how I want you to live out the word in your life with, if I could use these two words, ready? Reckless abandonment. You say, oh, preacher, I mean, you act like that's something serious. Oh, yeah, it is. In fact, there's nothing more serious than the word and living it out in our life. But I'm afraid, friend, in our culture that we have fallen into, especially Christians, we've fallen into almost a take it or leave it cafeteria line. Do it if you like it. Don't do it if it's inconvenient approach to living out the Bible. God says, I want you to take it seriously. So serious that he says it's not just enough to hear it. I want you to live it out. You see, the word doer there is an interesting word. It's a word and it actually means a performer. Now stop right there. It doesn't mean an actor, but a performer. Not in the sense of an entertainer, but a performer in the sense of one who carries out and performs the assigned duty or commission. In other words, our captain has said, here's what I want you to do. It's almost like a military approach. Our commanding officer and our superior has given us instructions, and he says, this is how I want you to live, how I want you to think, how I want you to view things and view the world and look at me, and I want you, here's how I want you to do everything. God's told us right here. The beauty about the Bible is that everything that's important that we ought to know and that God wants us to know, he's contained right here in these pages. You say, well, what doesn't it tell us? Well, you're probably not going to learn how to change your motor oil by looking at the scripture, okay? But everything you need to know for life and eternity. Everything God wants you to know and wants me to know to get us successfully through this life and into eternity, he's contained it right here in the scripture. And he says, I want you to perform that. I've given you instructions. That's your duty. You don't have an option. If you don't do it, Christian pal, you're derelict in your duty. You're disobedient if you don't live it. Adam Clark said that they had put the word here to no practical use in their life. One writer went on to say that he's talking about a systematic and continual making it your regular business of life. A.T. Robertson, the Greek scholar, said that it literally means, but keep on becoming a doer, implying both improvement and continual action and application, that we're always, through the power of the Holy Spirit, striving to do it better, striving to live it out under his power, striving just more and more and more every single day. So here's the truth, precept. Here's the truth. Hearing the word should always result in obeying the word. Can I say this? That's the reason we still give public gospel invitations and public invitations at the conclusion of our church services. We still give a strong appeal for people to respond to what was preached. Why? Because, gang, listen, it's not just enough just to sit here. God wants us to live out what we hear. And so I believe it's right to call people for a time of decision and a point of decision. And when a preacher gets done preaching a sermon, or a teacher even gets done teaching a lesson, there's everything in the world right with them saying, okay, God has spoken, now it's time for you to decide if you're going to live it out or not. And so we invite people to come and pray about that. That I don't apologize for giving a public invitation, asking people to respond and make a spiritual decision. It always should result in obedience. So let me give you number two, what I call the problem. Is there a problem in this verse? In this passage? Yeah, there's a problem addressed here. There's a problem he warns us about. Well, what's the problem there? The problem is that most people are hearers only. That's the warning. That's why the Holy Spirit had to lead him to write this to begin with. Because apparently as good a bunch of folks as he was writing to, and remember, this was his congregation from Jerusalem that had been sent outside of Palestine and had been scattered abroad, and he felt led in his heart by the Spirit of God to write them. This was one of their problems, one of their struggles. They knew the Word. They knew the Gospel. Somewhere, maybe in the disconnection of being scattered as a local church, they had lost maybe a little level of accountability, and they had apparently, it seems like, gotten slack about obedience, living it out. So the problem here is that most only hear. Be a doer, not a hearer only. I want to give you three statements about hearing only. Number one, hearing only is much easier for the flesh. Would you agree with that? Because that's the truth, whether I agree or not, it's the truth. It's a whole lot easier just to sit and listen than to get up and do. It's interesting, that word used in verse 22 of hearer, and it literally means it's used of those who sit passively in an audience and just listen to a singer or a speaker. It also could be used in our English language of the same word could be used today for someone on the collegiate level who would audit a class. You know what that means. They're required to attend and presumably listen, but they're not required to do anything else. You don't have to study. You don't have to take a test. You don't have to write papers. Just show up. Can I tell you something? Church can't be audited. The preaching of God's word, the biblical instruction from truth, we can't audit that. God says, I want you to live it out. Hearing only, though, is much easier for the flesh. Statement number two, hearing only leads to a life of deception. Would you notice what he says in verse 22? Go back there. He says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. Because if you are just a hearer, only a hearer, watch this. You deceive your own selves. Deception. The word deceiving there literally carries the idea of miscalculation. Or living in a delusion. You ever miscalculated something? Some of you folks who have built things in the past, did you ever, in the initial stages, did you ever miscalculate the measurement on something? And by the time you got into it, and maybe even began the construction process, you realized, uh-oh, there's a boo-boo. By the way, I guarantee you there are very few houses built in our county probably that somewhere along in the process somebody hadn't miscalculated something. You say, what do you do then? Well, at that point, you just live with the results, right? that might be okay for a house. That's not okay with a person's life. And God says, you better be careful that you hadn't miscalculated. Because if you're thinking, Christian Powell, if you're thinking that all that's important is that you just listen and listen and listen and hear and hear and hear, he said, you're grossly mistaken and you have actually deceived yourselves. You see, the deception is the belief that hearing is the only step. One writer said that they'd reason themselves into a state of carnal security. Statement number three, hearing only changes nothing. He says that in verse 23. Would you look there? Notice what he says again. He says, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's a hearer only. He's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Stop right there. Natural face. The word natural carries the idea of something that was created or creation. So he's talking about somebody who just with, you know, as we would say today, no makeup. They go before the mirror. That's what the glass was. It was a mirror, a looking glass. Somebody whose natural face, no pretense, no put on, no paint, you know, no foo-foo juice, nothing. I don't even know what foo-foo juice is, okay? So I don't know where that came from. All right, nothing. Just your face in the glass, in the mirror. And what do we say? What you see is what you get. The mirror doesn't lie. And God says that this person looks into the mirror and he sees correctable blemishes. I don't know what that would be. But he sees something out of place that ought to be corrected. Okay? And notice what happens. Look at verse 24. For he beholds himself, and he goes his way, and immediately, straightway, he forgets what manner of man he was. Or in other words, he totally forgot what he looked like when he looked in the mirror. God says that is what happens when you hear and you don't live out the word. You're no different. You're no better than the dude or the dudette that looks in the mirror and sees a bunch of blemishes that need to be corrected and can, and they walk away and they don't do anything about it. I guarantee you, ladies, how many of you, if you woke up Sunday morning and you as soon as you looked in the mirror, I guarantee you, you're not coming to church like that. Can I get amen? It's like, ladies, this is okay to say amen. Can I get an amen? I know you're there. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that for $1 million. You're like, you're crazy. I'm not showing up. Look at my hair. I got to do something about that. And God says, if all you do is listen, that doesn't do any good. Because you've stared into the perfect mirror and it has shown you what you are. And I've given you all the steps necessary. I've given you all the steps necessary to change, and you hadn't done anything about it. Here's the truth. You see, hearing without doing is a real spiritual danger for all of us. You say, do you really believe, preacher, that we're in danger of doing that? Oh, friend, listen carefully. Now, don't raise your hand. Don't answer out loud. Ladies, don't elbow your husband. Don't point. How many of you, you know, how many of you recently, God spoke to you from his word about changing something, doing something, quitting something, as in sin, but you hadn't done it yet? I guarantee you, many of us scattered across this auditorium, we fall in that category. The Holy Spirit, through His Word, has impressed upon your heart, your conscience, your mind, I want you to do this, or I want you to stop doing such and such. And we haven't quite gone full bore yet and followed through with what the Holy Spirit told us to do. Sure, it's a danger for us. You're like, preacher, you don't know how good we are. No, friend, I do. I also know the battle of the flesh and how hard it fights against us when it comes to full obedience. And I'm telling you, what I'm saying tonight is a real danger, and you know I'm telling the truth. Here we go. Number three, the process He gives us. The process. If you're still with me, say amen. The process. There's a process here. Step one of the process, look in the Word and recognize. There has to be an aspect where we look at the Word. We see the Word. We hear the Word. We take in the Word. We're gazing in the Word and recognize. Recognize what? Recognize, number one, that the Word is always right. Always. He says it's the perfect law, verse 25, the perfect law. Not the almost perfect, not the 99.99% perfect. It's the perfect law, friend. Every single thing that it says is right. It's the perfect law. Listen to what our Bible says in Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More are to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. By them, moreover, is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Listen to me, friend. Recognize the fact that the Word is always right. And then recognize, number two, that the Word is always right about you. He says, when you look into the mirror and you're beholding your natural face, don't you ever doubt this book is going to show you what you look like. Heart, mind, spirit. It's going to read you, and it's going to be dead on. It's always right about us. And then he says, recognize that the Word will be the true source for changing me. You see, the Word's always right. The Word's always right about me, and the Word is going to be the only true source for changing me. Because notice what he says in verse 25. He talks about the law of liberty. Now stop. What's the law of liberty? The law of liberty is the Word of God that when we live it out through His power, it breaks the chains and it sets us free and it produces the life change that God wants to produce. We talk about being set free. You know what sets us free? Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. Just hearing the truth? No. Living out the truth. That's when the chains are going to fall. That's when you're going to start hearing the clang and the banging of the chains of sin hitting the ground. Is when you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, say, I'm going to take the book, the Word, the truth, and I'm going to walk in it. It's going to set you free. It's the only thing that has the power to change us through the fullness of the Spirit of God. So step one, we look in and recognize. Step two, now don't lose me now, we live out the Word and respond. Live it out. That's where the obedience comes in. I'm going to respond to it. And whatever it tells me to do, because it's always right and it's always right about me, and it's the only thing that's going to make me free, when it tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. We've seen the precept, the problem, the process, and we close with this, the promise. Look at verse 25. He contrasts and he uses a simile to show the contrast in verse 24 between this crazy dude that looked at all the correctable blemishes and just walked away and didn't change anything. That's one extreme. But then he says, now look at this cat here in verse 25. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, stop right there. I love the word picture. Therefore continue. And one writer said, one scholar said that it literally carries the idea of a woman. Ladies, let's go back to you. I'm going to lift you up now. A woman who gazes for a lengthy period of time in the mirror, preparing herself before she faces the day. Don't y'all do that, ladies? Yes, you do. Thank God. Amen. All right. You do that. Your husband might even say, why is it taking you so long to get ready? And next time he says that, just say, look, I'm following Scripture. Leave me alone. Okay. Brother, my brother, amen right there. I'm telling you. That's the idea. It's this right here. Listen. It's the idea of, I'm not going to put it down until it changes me. I'm not going to walk away from it until its work has been done in my heart and life. And that's what he says. He says, let the work of the word take place in your life. How? Live it out. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, live it out. Do what it says. He says, don't be a forgetful here. Don't let your life be marked by forgetfulness. Oh boy, I heard something good in church this morning. Okay, did you live it out this week? I'll tell you what, I remember that was a good sermon. That was a good Sunday school lesson. Oh, okay, great. Did you do what you were told from the Word? See, if we don't, we're being a forgetful here. Be a doer. Literally someone who does the work. But here's the promise, gang. He says, if you do that and you live it out, he said, you're going to be blessed in your deed. What does he mean by that? That means that when you get serious about obedience, God gets serious about blessing you. You say, you're preaching a health and wealth gospel. No, I'm not. Listen. Here's what he's saying. That when I get serious about obedience to the word, my attempt, my effort, my work to live out the practical aspects of the word in my life will be anointed, blessed, fueled, energized by the Spirit of God, and will most definitely result in life change. I love this. Old Dr. Adrian Rogers used to say that trying to do right in your own power, you just as well grab a broomstick from the closet and hop on it and think that you're going to fly to the moon on it. It won't happen. And that's why, my dear precious friend, you don't have to obey God in your own strength. That's why, as a believer, you have the Holy Spirit who has promised right here, when you get serious about obedience, he will fill you, he will empower you, he will bless you. Makarios, that's the same word Jesus used in Matthew 5 about the Beatitude, in the Beatitudes when he said, blessed, blessed, blessed. It means doubly, doubly blessed by the Lord. What's the blessing? Here's the blessing. He gives you his power. And he fuels and energizes your effort to obey the word. And that's the blessing. Because when you, through his power, live out the word, that's when your life and mine are going to be changed. So here's the truth. Living out the word is blessed and energized by the Lord himself. You can go ahead and mark it down. I wonder if he'll help me live out the word. Friend, that's a prayer you don't even need to pray. Just take him at his word and live it out. Because he's already promised to anoint you. Now here's a prayer I want you to pray with me tonight as we close. Here's a prayer to pray. God, help me to live out the truth that you show me in your word. Would you pray that tonight? Lord, you help me to live out the truth that you show me in your word. God, anoint my feet, anoint my hands, anoint my eyes, anoint my mouth, not just my ears. You anoint every part of me that I need to effectively live it out. And all God's people said, would you grab your prayer sheet and let's look at it for a moment, please. I have a name, two names for you to add, please, if you would. I want you to pray for Russell Wade. Russell has injured his back. He goes for an MRI tomorrow. The doctor believes that he may have a ruptured disc in his lower back. And I want you to pray for him, please. He specifically asked for our church family to remember him in prayer. And I know you will. And then Miss Norma sent word just before service, pray for Brother Bobby Flores. He's just struggling this evening, and pray for him that God would touch him in a special way. Tonight we're praying for our discipleship ministry called D3. Pray for Micah Conlin, our school administrator, certainly this week. Pray for Rebecca Collier, Jamie Conlin, these sweet ladies teaching our school. Pray for Myron and Julie Scott, home missionaries to Gilbert, Arizona. Pray for Noel and Andrea Sparks, church planters in Spain. And pray for Chris Watson, who's stationed in Germany in the military. Brother Billy Smith had his surgery today. He had a stent put in, and it went well. He's staying overnight for observation. Let's remember him. Pray for Tammy Cannon. She's having difficulty walking. She'll have further tests on Monday. And then we had a sweet couple a couple of weeks ago visit our church, and they requested prayer for their six-month-old grandson, little baby boy. His name's Nolan Hill, and he's facing open-heart surgery next Tuesday. And I want you to pray for him. Little Nolan, six-month-old. Would you remember Nolan in prayer? And then pray for Goldie Lundquist. This is Mrs. McCray Hinn's mother, 97 years old, and she is weakening almost daily, but certainly week by week. So you pray for Mrs. Goldie. And then pray for Todd Willoughby. Todd, next Wednesday, goes for surgery, and he is having some ongoing pancreatic issues, and going to do surgery at Rex Hospital to try to help alleviate some of these things. And tonight I want you to join me as we lift him up in prayer. How many of you say, preacher, I have a need on my heart, on my mind? It could be a person that needs the Lord. It could be someone else who's struggling, but there's a need, there's a burden on your heart tonight you'd like for us to remember. Would you raise your hand? Aren't you glad that the family of God cares and knows how to pray for one another? And aren't you glad that even when someone doesn't, the Holy Spirit's making intercessions that you can't utter? So tonight, I want to ask you to pray for Sunday. Pray for God's power to be felt and sensed in this place. Pray for souls to be saved, for Christians drawn closer to Jesus. I'm going to ask you right now, if you feel led of the Lord, come and kneel, and let's gather at the altar tonight. I know some of you cannot kneel, but if you want to come and sit on the front, or if you just want to stay right where you are, but those who feel led to come and pray, you come on tonight as we have our prayer time. All across this auditorium, regardless of your posture outwardly, help us, may we all be in the posture of prayer. So let's just pray right now and seek the face of God, all of us across the auditorium. Brother Junior Pate, would you open us up in prayer? If you would, please, brother. And then Brother Brian McNeese, would you close us tonight in our prayer time?